and welcome to episode 109 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here is my lone co-host today, Christy Pachko.
Hey, everybody.
So last time we had just me and Angie, and this time it's me and Christy.
But, because Angie and I are fighting. No, that's not true. It's just the last week I didn't see the movie, and this week I've seen all the movies.
One of them just never made it out of Ninja.
We battled at a ninja-themed restaurant, and I came out victorious.
Yeah,
I like
really.
That story.
All right, so this week we have a big show for you. We're going to hit three movies. We're going to do mini-reviews on The Invitation and Demolition, and then we are going to do our big review on Hardcore Henry. So first up is The Invitation, and I am taking the lead on that one. Here is the IMDb synopsis. While attending a dinner party at his former home, a man thinks his ex-wife and her new husband have sinister intentions for their guests. That is a very good IMDb synopsis.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
solid.
Spoil. I've been having a difficult time talking about this movie because it feels like everything could be a spoiler, but I guess we're allowed to say that it is a cult type situation at this point because that's kind of everywhere.
Yeah, they kind of introduced that pretty early on. It's basically like him and his wife, his ex, like reconnect, and she's clearly in some new group that he's like immediately suspicious of. And it's supposed to be a psychological thriller on kind of whose side do you take? Are you with him where you think that they have like sinister motives, or is he twisted and is seeing drama where there isn't any?
Which is a big part of my problem with this movie is that I think it leans very heavily towards one side versus the other. So there's really no game to be played here. You know what's going on almost from the moment the movie begins, and that makes it, you know, kind of boring. I mean, the whole thing is basically just like a dinner party movie, and it's very, very slow, and it's not, the people aren't very likable. They aren't very distinct.
You don't
it's
get to know them like, very well. There's a lot of people in this movie, and typically when there are that many characters in a movie that I know is going to be a horror movie, my assumption is that we're going to watch them all get steadily killed off or disappear. And that's not what happens. So then you're just like, why are all these people still in this movie? And I still don't get a good handle on who most of them are.
I mean, this is probably a light spoiler too, but you know, I mean, it's a horror movie. When you do get into that point where people do start to die, that's the reason that I end up remembering them. Not because of all the character development or whatever degree of character development that it is that happens earlier on. I saw this movie for the first time at South by Southwest last year, was bored to tears. Like, I was just, like, losing my shit because it was a midnight movie, too, and I was tired. And I came out, I didn't like it at all. I was really bored. Watched it again the other night. Knowing how it ends makes it a little better. It gives it a little more momentum. And it's like, when I could pair how people died with the character development that happens earlier on, I'm like, oh, I get you now. I'm kind of into you. So if that means anything.
See, I wanted to like this because the director is Karen Kusama, and she did Girl Fight in 2000, which was a movie that had me obsessed. It's what introduced Michelle Rodriguez, and it's a really exciting, interesting drama about a girl who wants to become a boxer. And then since then, she's done stuff that I either haven't seen, Aeon Flux, or was really underwhelmed by, which is Jennifer's Body. And I know a lot of people now are being like, if you rewatch Jennifer's Body, it's super good, and I haven't gotten there yet.
I love Jennifer's Body.
You like that one?
I loved it the first time I saw it, and I have a habit of watching that one over and over again.
That one just didn't speak to me the way I had hoped to. I haven't watched it since it came out, so I don't know. I'm with Perry in that I walked into this movie, and I felt like from go, the thing that they think is going to be a surprise, I was just like, well, that's what it is, right? And so, oh, it's like you with you in Goodnight Mommy, where at the beginning you were like, oh, I know what this is, to the point where it didn't even occur to you it was supposed to be a twist, so That really made this just kind of sit there for me, and I wonder if she intended it
to be a twist.
I just feel like if not, what tension do you have going on in the movie?
No, I mean, I don't get it either if you view it from that perspective. I'm curious if anyone, maybe after we're done recording, I will start Googling and see if she's done an interview on it.
Some of our peers who are super into horror movies really love this one, and we're like, that's why I watched it, was because some people we know that I respect were like, oh yeah, you have to see The Invitation. And I was like, okay, and I was like all stoked. And
I was one of very few people who walked out of that with a negative response.
That's so wild to me.
Yeah, it's weird to me too. And I will say the ending of the movie I think is brilliant, and it brings up ideas that I would have liked to have explored more.
I wish that had been laced throughout though, because I felt like that would have created a world that I'd be more interested in. I'll say that. I think that's a spoiler to say that. I just, as it was, they just seemed like a bunch of LA douchebags being LA douchebags, and then shit goes down, and I wasn't invested in the characters, so I didn't really care what was happening for the screen time.
I mean, that's pretty much the same exact reaction I had, and I'm kind of disappointed.
So moving on to another South by movie, though from this year, we're going to talk Demolition, which is a Jake Gyllenhaal movie. And as an investment banker struggles after losing his wife in a tragic car crash, his increasingly confessional series of letters to a vending machine company catch the attention of a customer service rep with whom he forms an unlikely connection. That is accurate, but that is very wordy. We can make it succincter by saying that Jake Gyllenhaal plays a affluent financial guy who loses his wife and is very confused that he doesn't feel anything when that happens. And so he basically systematically tears his life apart. Now, I really enjoyed this movie, which I was kind of surprised by, because it's from Jean-Marc Vallée, who did Dallas Buyers Club and Wild, which were movies I was underwhelmed by, while the rest of the world seemed to lose their shit over. But this spoke to me in its kind of dark humor and its kind of fuck you-ness to Hollywood convention, because it's kind of like every time you think you know where the story's going, the screenplay by Brian Sipes goes, nope, and takes a left turn or a right turn or just halts altogether and does a U-ey. Like, I thought that was really fun. I wasn't sure what to expect with this movie. And its sense of humor, which is very iconoclastic, really reminded me of, like, Chuck Palahniuk. I don't know that I'm saying his name right, who wrote, like, Fight Club and stuff. And it felt like, to me, like a Chuck Palahniuk novel I'd never read, which was really exciting.
I've never heard somebody say, I don't know if I pronounced someone's name right, and then said the name twice. I would do that once and never repeat
never
the
again.
Name ever again.
It's like one of those things where he has,
if
like,
I even
this
dare
mix
say
of
it
letters
the first time.
Where I'm like, and my mouth's just like,
you do notice that I'm not bothering to correct you or say it myself.
Yeah, no, fair.
For good reason.
The guy who wrote Fight Club, that guy.
Yeah, I had the exact opposite reaction, because I, for one, loved Wild. It was my number one movie of 2014, yet I did not like Demolition much at all. There's a lot of things that I appreciate about Demolition. I do kind of like how on the nose he is about the idea of, like, tearing your life apart to, like, build it back up, and how literal of an approach they take to that idea. I like Jake Gyllenhaal's performance, and I really like how he shot the film, because that's kind of the only thing that let me connect to the character at all. Jean-Marc Vallée likes to work in a really kind of fluid manner. He, like, the camera's always following the actors. It's not like standard shooting technique. It's a lot of handheld stuff, and just the way he works with his actors too. It's all done without too much, you know. It's just not a very rigid way of working. It's very free flowing, and it makes everything feel really natural. And I think that kind of kept me invested to a point. Mm-hmm. The problem I have with this movie is it made me so insanely angry that I understand he goes through a hard thing in his life and he's gotta, you know, cope and get past it somehow, but to destroy all of these beautiful things really pissed me off. And I couldn't feel bad for him, because I had a really hard time understanding why he was taking it to that extent.
That's,
I don't think the movie never justified that to me. I understand.
Oh, that's so wild. Okay.
I like the idea of taking things apart and figuring out what you need to build back up to put your life back together, but I think they went a little overboard in that respect, and it made Jake Gyllenhaal's character very, very unlikable.
That's
to
so
me.
Funny. Okay, so I think that's why I related to him, and not that I've ever destroyed my house to try to figure out why something's not going my way, but I really connected to that sense of wanting to literally smash it to things to pieces and start over. And
well,
I felt really
doesn't relate to that, you know.
Well, but what was funny though was that when I went to see this movie, I knew you didn't like it. You had mentioned that before, and I was like, oh, okay. And then it gets to the part. This is in the trailer, so this is not a spoiler. It gets to the part where they drive a bulldozer through the front of his house, and my first thought was, oh, this is why Perry hates this. Like,
fun
that
fact.
You hadn't told me anything about why you didn't like it, but
did
I was
I tell
like
you
oh
my
I get
fun
it
fact though
what
that that house is right around the corner from where I grew up.
You did tell, you told me that later, which I thought was hilarious, but like I get it. It's because, you know, you're a person who really admires like a tidiness and a whatever. And so it was really like an attack on your senses. And I totally understand.
Well, it's also
why
because there's so many, I mean, this sounds very like cliche and silly, but there's so many like people out there who don't have like nice homes sure. and all these
I've heard
things.
People
and
he's, complain this is
and
rich
he's
people
just
problem
destroying
movie.
It. Yeah, yeah. That, I get that. I mean, beating me like, over the head with that.
For me, I thought it was interesting that it's like because he has all these other things that, like, you know, especially losing a wife he doesn't love, why is it such a big deal? And I thought it was such an interesting story because we talk a lot on the show, me and Angie, a lot of the time about how I'm tired of hearing how hard it is to be a white male. But this was a take on that story that I hadn't heard before, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very funny. But having said that, it is a movie that when I went to see it, I will say me and one other person was laughing, and that was kind of it. And I laughed like a maniac throughout it because it does have this very kind of dark sense of humor. But I think if you're a Jake Gyllenhaal fan, you should check it out because it's another really strong performance from him. And he's picking fascinating projects to keep doing.
Yeah.
And I like the screenwriter, Brian Sipe. I'm going to be keeping an eye out for him.
Yeah, this I think the script was on the blacklist, actually, in 2007, which is kind of interesting. But I really like the kid in it too, Judah Lewis. I thought he was fantastic. I mean, I'm not sure that I was really into that character storyline. It felt a little too contrived to me. But
oh, interesting.
I liked
See
his
again,
performance.
I thought this was really interesting. That's
well, no,
interesting.
I found it interesting, but it was again a little too on the nose. Like I knew exactly kind of where that was going and the effect that was going to have on Gyllenhaal's character. So when it happened, I'm like, oh.
That's so funny. I feel like they make such different choices than you anticipate that it makes her a very interesting movie. And Naomi Watts is really good in this too. And I don't want to say too much about her role because it's kind of a wonderful surprise how that evolves. But
And it's funny because that's the opposite of the general consensus. Like people are just so sad that she was kind of put in this role and almost gets nothing out of it.
I disagree. It's a small role, but she's so good in it. And I think the part of why it's so good is because like they introduce her in like voiceover, and then when you meet her, I was like, right, that's Naomi Watts. Holy shit. Which is exciting. But we should wrap on this. So it's funny. So far, we're both a no-go on The Invitation. I say see Demolition. Perry's no on that.
Yeah, I'm going to take a pass on this one. Go watch Wild instead.
And our final South by Southwest movie that is coming to theaters this weekend.
Hardcore Henry.
Woo!
I'm so psyched about this. So the IMDb synopsis for this one is a first-person action film from the eyes of Henry, who's resurrected from death with no memory. He must discover his identity and save his wife from a warlord with a plan to bioengineer soldiers. All right, but really, none of that means shit, because the big thing about this movie is that it was shot from, like, it shot like a first-person POV action shooter game. It comes from the director who was in... He directed the music video Bad Motherfucker, and his band is called Biting Elbows. Biting Elbows.
That's right.
And anyway, so the music video comes out like however many years ago, and like it was shot this way, and it blew up on YouTube. People freaked out. So then Timur Bekmenimov, I think I said that right,
I
too.
I think you're right.
The producer. He's the guy who produced Unfriended. So he got Ilya... I'm not going to say his last name because I'm not going to pronounce it right. He's the guy who directed the music video. He hooked up with him and they made this movie together. And very similarly to Unfriended, it is like a technology revelation. I mean, and this may be even more so than that because this thing is so incredibly well shot. I understand people who don't want to see this because they get motion sick or they can't handle this type of movie. You know, if you don't like shaky cam films... You might want to shy away from this. And there's nothing wrong with that because I know a lot of people who have just difficulty sitting through something like that. But if you appreciate first-person shooter games, if you appreciate people who can do like incredible things with technology, then
And
go
mad
see this,
stunts. The stunts in
this
are
movie.
Like The Raid, where like watching this movie, I was like, so someone got killed making this, right? Like I was convinced and then when I interviewed Charlto Copley down in South By, we were talking about some of the stunts and they were like, apparently they were just running around Russia shooting stuff and making it up a lot of the times as they went along. And so they were like, oh yeah, when we were kids, we used to run over that bridge. And like the director's like, oh, want to do it now? So two guys get up on top of a bridge and run over it. Like not the part where you walk like a normal human person, but the top part where you could just die. And like that's what Charlto said. He's like, they were it's not Hollywood. There's not like safety nets. Like if someone fell, they would die.
And I had asked them if they had insurance, and like, thank God, they're like, yes, we had the necessary insurance.
Sure, they did.
They weren't bonded, which I guess makes sense, but the insurance is kind of necessary. God okay. forbid someone did seriously hurt themselves.
Well, that's like watching this movie. It's like, it reminded me of The Raid, where I just kept being like, oh my God, like there's no way you can fake what you're seeing because it's terrifying. And I went to see it when we saw it at South By at the premiere. I was worried that the gimmick would wear thin and I would eventually get bored. But honestly, they come up with so many strange new, let's call them levels, because it's very much like a video game movie, where they're like, oh, you think this is crazy? Now we're going to up the stakes. You think this is crazy? What if we do this? And like, it was so fun and bonkers, and I had such a good time. It really did feel like an experience. Like, I was thrown full body into this narrative. And what's interesting is that the story doesn't make tons of sense, but like, they give you enough that you get what's going on and you're fine. It's kind of, I described it like if you skip like the cutscenes in a video game, you know who you have to kill, but you don't know why. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah. We know what Henry's doing. We just don't maybe necessarily get the reasoning. And then like, Charlton Copley keeps popping up as all these different characters, and his acting style is so campy and goofy and gonzo and so into it. That, like, it, again, makes it really fun, because every time he springs up, you're just like, what is happening?
And, like, I don't know if many other actors could have played that part as well as he did, which is very necessary. And I'll definitely agree with you on the story. It's like, well, I happened to have seen this when it world premiered at TIFF in the fall, and everybody was like, holy shit, how's this going to work? Is there going to be a story? This is never going to work. Everyone in the theater went, like, freaking nuts. It's the perfect midnight movie, the perfect movie to see with a crowd.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, I came out super hyped, and I rated it really high. And then the next day, in the morning, at, like, a 10 a.m. screening, was the critic screening, you know, like, a private press screening. And everyone walked out of that, like, oh, everyone should hate this movie. This isn't a movie. And that drove me absolutely insane because, okay, you know, maybe it isn't like drama heavy with like super intense character development or anything like that. But in terms of doing something really innovative with your visuals and pairing it with just enough story, I think they found the perfect balance between the two, because this would not have worked as well if you buried it in plot points and,
totally.
And things that other movies might need.
Yeah, it's exactly. If we were just sitting there watching someone explain something to us, it'd be as boring as when you're sitting there during Batman v Superman and someone's like, let me show you the Wayne's family getting killed again. Like, we've been there, we've done that, we don't need this. So in Hardcore Henry, I was actually really annoyed because I started tweeting when I got out of it how excited I was, and like, Film Twitter immediately wanted to respond with like, who didn't like it? And I don't honestly fucking care who didn't like it. I had a really good time. I understand the criticisms that are like, it rejects film language and whatever, because in film language, we're supposed to be able to look into the eyes of our protagonist and empathize with them because of that connection. I get that. And here you can't do that because we never really see Henry's face. But, you know, my thing on film is I don't like the idea of saying film has to be this. Like, the only thing film has to be is ever changing. You know, like, film went from silent to sound. It went from black and white to color. It went from analog to digital. And I'm not saying that this is the next step, but when we're doing so many things that are virtual reality involved, a film like Hardcore Henry, in a sense, feels inevitable. But like Unfriended, this is a concept that would be so easy to fuck up and make terrible, but they made it really interesting and fun to watch, and they used the technology in a way that I think was freshly engaging the entire time. I do think that if you have, like, motion sickness, keep that in mind, because I did, by, like, halfway through, I had, like, slow burn nausea. And, like, I was okay, but, like, at the end of the movie, I was like, oh, God, I want some water and to lay down. But also,
yeah, that's understandable.
Fine. I felt that way a little bit at the end of Mad Max Fury Road, too, because I was on such an exhilarating, exhausting ride that my body was like, oh, I need a minute. And, like, that was fun for me. I had such a great time watching Hardcore Henry. And it's, like, yeah, the plot is weak and the dialogue is hokey and the acting is schmacky. Yeah. But that's not what it's about. That movie is about the ride. And, you know, it's like people want to be like, people want to act like it has to just be big blockbusters that can get away with doing that. But, like, this is like, the fact that this played at TIFF is insane to me, but that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that what you said before actually never crossed my mind. In terms of it not living up to, like, you know, and I hate even saying this, but, like, standard movies, like your normal average movies, was the fact that there's very little story, no character development. The dialogue is, yes, super cheesy. But experimental
film does that all the time, and nobody gives a fuck.
Well, I do tend to give a fuck, which is probably why I steer clear of certain types of movies. But in terms of what you just said with not being able to see his face, I thought that was going to bother me more. The second I got into the movie and I was swept up in the action, I never, like, for a second thought, you know, I can't connect to this guy because I don't know what he looks like. I liked Henry. It I understood what he was fighting for, and I was rooting for him the entire time. It never mattered for a second that I didn't see his face.
Yeah, because they begin the film with like a snippet of a memory, so you have a sense of who he is, and then they kick off with him meeting his wife, and she's like, "You may not remember. This is what happened. This is what we are. I love you." And so, you know, it's a find the princess narrative, but like, he's so dedicated to getting her back because she's the only thing he has. And, like, you know, it's a very simple device, but it works really well. So you're very motivated. And Charlton Copley manages to kind of give enough of a performance for both of them, even though this, you know, Henry is being performed by half a dozen stunt guys and cameramen and occasionally mm-hmm. the director. It all comes together into a performance that feels weirdly fluid. And, yeah, it rejects a bunch of the, you know, typical filmmaking norms, but I don't care. I want something that's going to be an experience and is going to affect me. And Hardcore Henry did. It really shook me up. It made me...
This better change the game in terms of shaky cam filmmaking, too. Because not even just the fact that it's the POV, like the first-person perspective, just with what they do with... I believe it's the GoPro camera almost the entire time on some sort of rig. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful movie, and the way that they just orchestrate all these action scenes with the blocking. Like during my interview, they were telling me how, you know, for example, there's a scene on the bus, and you may not notice that their sound guy has to sit in the back of the bus because where is the sound guy going to go when you have someone's head whipping around? How are they going to light this kind of stuff? The guy needs to be on fire the exact time that so and so hops off the bus. You know, like. All that stuff. There's just so many moving parts. This movie shouldn't have worked, but it came together so incredibly well on so many levels that it kind of frustrates me that more people aren't embracing it. Even though I think audiences or people that see a commercial for this movie say that could be my thing and go to see it, I think you're going to be really happy if you fall into that category. If you look at the commercial and you're like, "Eh, not for me," odds are your first impression of the material is right. Do not see it. But I think that people who like this kind of stuff are going to embrace it.
Well, I mean, I actually didn't necessarily think this would be my kind of thing because I don't really I played first person shooter games because I, you know, Doom was just everywhere. Everyone played Doom, whatever. But like, I thought that this might get tiresome to me. But I feel like, you know, if you open yourself up to the ride of it and like Perry said, if it seems at all intriguing, I'd give it a shot. I honestly think it's really fun. And I think that's also why the marketing is not playing up just the first person aspect, but the experience aspect where you're hearing a lot of critics like Perry and I are both quoted in different trailers. And like I mean, this movie literally left me gasping. I was just so rattled by what I saw, and it was so much fun. And I came out of there at the end of a long day at South By, and like South By is uniquely exhausting, but I came out of there at the end of a long day, and I just wanted to like rage. I had so much fun. So much fun that I kept wearing they gave me a promotional hat that I wore everywhere, no matter how ridiculous I looked in it. It's like way too big for me.
I went out of my way to pack that hat so it didn't get squished on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
So I understand.
I wear that hat grocery shopping, and I'm like, "Hello, everyone."
Just to clarify, when I say if you look at the trailer and it's not your thing, I specifically mean like if you watch that, let's say, 1 minute, 30 second, 2 minute trailer and you're like, "I'm freaking nauseous already." Because I definitely don't want to recommend it to someone because like I'm just because I happen to be at my parents' house right now. My dad, for example, he loves action movies. He could maybe see an action sequence and be like, "All right, this looks cool," but the POV shaky cam style will make him nauseous in a second. He will drop dead in this movie. It's not happening.
Yeah.
So if that is where you fall, I would think twice about going to see it. But
so health warning, but otherwise we're in favor of Hardcore Henry.
They joked at the TIFF screening that they should hand out like barf bags and stuff. And I'm like, you know, it's... If you put, like, an airplane sick bag in everybody's seat, it's something like that is kind
of
funny.
Yeah, I didn't hear about anybody actually getting, like, actively sick, so that's something.
Yeah.
So I don't want to end on that note, though, so I don't know.
Well, yeah.
I feel like this is a very creative movie. Like, I know it seems gimmicky, and it is, but they do such an interesting thing with the gimmick, it's hard to hate on this.
Yeah. No, I'm a big fan of Timur Bekmambetov right now. I always have to think really hard before I say his name. Like, I have to picture how it's
That's one I
spelled.
wouldn't even try. I was like, oh, I will screw that up.
I'm like his biggest fan right now. Not that I'm particularly excited for Ben-Hur, but just in terms of him finding new filmmakers and kind of pushing new
And
technology
challenging
to the
them, yeah.
forefront. Yeah, because he's between this and Unfriended, he's accomplished something that I think is really going to change the game and change like this terrible name that Shaky Cam has and found
Yeah.
footage has taken on. He's done two really unique things with that style right now. So I am
I
really
think you're
pumped to
totally
see what
right.
he
I
does
think like
next.
20 years from now, you're gonna hear action filmmakers referencing this movie as like what inspired them. Like, it's just groundbreaking. Like, whether you like it or not, it's groundbreaking, and I think it's great.
All right, so we say no to the invitation, we're mixed on Demolition, and a big fat yes for Hardcore Henry. That about sums it up, right? All righty, so that is a wrap on episode 109 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You know where to find us. Please go to iTunes where you can subscribe, rate, and comment. You can catch our website, popcornprosecco.com. We are on Facebook where it would be super nice if you liked us, and then Twitter at Popcorn Prosecco, and then we are all over the internet as well. Christy, do you want to go first?
Sure, you can find me all over the Oh man, I was just telling Angie how well she did my sign off last week and then I totally flubbed it.
That's why I was waiting. I was so excited for you to like do it exactly like she does it.
I'm on Twitter at Christy Puchko, KristyPuchko, and I write all over the interweb, but you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com.
Are you gonna do Angie?
Oh God.
She did yours like the exact way you
I know,
say it too,
fuck.
you know,
Angie
with the
Han
same
can be found on
inflection in your
Twitter at
voice.
AJ Han, and she writes for slashfilm.com.
AJHAN.
Shit.
I think she always spells it out, right? At AJHAN,
She
and she
does
writes
spell
for
it out.
slashfilm.com. I think I got it. You can find me
I'm the
on
worst
Twitter.
host.
I'm on Twitter at PNemiroff, and I write for collider.com. Now that we've, I don't even know anymore.
Oh
All
man,
right,
I'm the worst friend and the worst co-host. Oh God, it's all over.
that's a wrap on this episode. It will get better for all of us from here. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week.
Woo! This is war, baby! Because I'm having a good time.